Today, we are traveling back in time to 1848. In just 1 month at the beginning of that year, the gold rush began. Karl Marx published the Communist Manifesto, and literally dozens of political revolutions started tearing across Europe. And I'm convinced what we know today as modern culture started being born right then, because around 1848, new technology and new ideas were piling up faster than anybody had ever imagined. Take Samuel F. B. Morse. You probably know him as an inventor of the telegraph, which transformed the world starting in 1844. But just before he became Mr. Telegraph, he was a New York painter and professor of art. As soon as he got a copy of the plans for this amazing new French device that used sunlight to make pictures automatically on silver-covered metal plates, he ordered a craftsman downstairs to build him one of these daguerreotype cameras. And walked out into the streets of Manhattan to become maybe the first American photographer. I've held Samuel Morse's camera. Now, let me warn you, I'm a little obsessed with this period. I've spent the last 4 years researching 1848 for a novel I'm writing, and I curated an exhibit of art and design objects called Faster, Cheaper, Newer, More, Revolutions of 1848 that has just opened at the Cooper Hewitt Museum in New York. To me, this whole era is like the political and cultural tumult of the 1960s combined with the tech boom of the 1990s, times 10. I'm going to show you why, and joining me on our journey to the past is a perfect time-traveling companion, the author and historian Simon Schama. Simon Schama is a brilliant and entertaining author and a professor at Columbia University. Simon Schama, thanks for joining me today in Studio 360.
It's a pleasure. God, I've got to be brilliant now.
Well, you always are. Isn't that effortless?
No, it's not. I charge extra for that.
So as a European, if we can count a British person as a European, what does 1848 mean to you?
Well, I think you put it very well yourself, Kurt. It's the moment where technology slams into dreaming, really. A lot of the early years of the 19th century are spent surrounded by a kind of cloud of romantic vapor. The great moment for thinkers, painters, composers, writers is the French Revolution. Love it or hate it. And there were lovers and haters. But what the French Revolution... The memory of the French Revolution, partly because it all, you know, ends so badly, meant for those who were in the baby generation afterwards was an unfinished possibility. What had gone wrong, they said to themselves, was that, well, mankind, if only liberated into democracy, will be good. And the best of all possible societies, democratic and socially just, can be created. It was a kind of fever of optimism that struck people, really, in that generation. And then but the notion of the way you performed out your life, whether you're a politician or an artist, was by impulse, by intuition, by dreaming.
This was the new idea.
The new idea, absolutely. And then along comes machinery. Comes the camera, or comes the telegraph, or comes the railway train. And it is the issue for this generation is, can these machines be harnessed to make these dreams come true? Or are they the enemies of the dream? Are they about hard cash and brute power?
I love that idea of technology being harnessed to dreams, because the thing that is happening 6,000 miles away from Europe at the very moment that the political revolutions are happening in France and the rest of Europe, of course, is the discovery of gold, which quickly becomes exactly that tension between industrial mining and just individual prospectors out on their own getting rich. And it was, talk about a dream come true. You go out to this land that nobody really owns and find millions of dollars worth of gold lying in the dirt. Yeah. A very American kind of dream, I guess.
Yes. Europeans, of course, Tocqueville and many others, and Dickens, much less sympathetic, come to America and see space conquered by speed in the shape of the steam-driven paddle boats, for a start. And all of their earlier romantic notions about the wilderness and about the vast sort of God-given acreage of America comes crashing down because they see all that delivered to a wealth-making machine. It's making people fat and rich and stupid in their view.
So just as Europeans are still saying 156 years later, I guess, about Americans.
It's not quite gone away. I think that's true.